Okay, as you can see that today's topic is about natural disasters, which is actually a question. Natural disasters or acts of God? Now, this is a very interesting topic. Now, most of us are aware that a stretch of bad events kicked off this year 2020. Wildfires engulfed many cities in Australia. There were earthquakes in Turkey and the Caribbean. A locust swarm outbreak in East Africa and affected all the way in India. These events were eclipsed then in January, however, when the coronavirus pandemic began to sweep the world, wreaking havoc and killing more than 463,000 people as of 21st June. Besides all these, there were other natural disasters around the world. Now, what does the Bible say about natural disasters? And what does God have to do with it at all? Now, it is interesting that insurance companies have a specific terminology when it comes to natural disasters. They call them acts of God. Isn't that interesting? Not acts of nature, but acts of God. I'm not sure how that got started, but it does raise some interesting questions. Are all natural disasters acts of God, or are they just random occurrences that happened around the planet? Now, did God cause all the bushfires, floodings, earthquakes, the storms, the hurricanes, the locust plague, and the pandemic, assuming that the pandemic virus was not man-made? Once again, what does the Bible say about natural disasters? And what does God have to do with it? We will be looking at a number of passages today to explore that question, particularly from Romans chapter 8. I would like us to answer that questions together by considering three principles from the Bible. First, natural disasters are not natural. Second, natural disasters are part of God's judgment for sin. Third, natural disasters are meant to turn you to Him, to God. So let us get started. First, natural disasters are not natural. Now, of course, they are natural in the sense that they are part of nature and that they follow certain patterns of nature and that we can observe them scientifically and draw various conclusions from the data. They are certainly natural in a sense, okay? So they are natural to the world, the way the world is now. So I am not against science or oblivion of what is going on in our nature. And yet, when we look at these natural disasters through the lens of the Bible, they are not natural to the world as God created the world. So firstly, we need to acknowledge that God created the world and He made the world what? Perfectly good. We read in Genesis chapter 1, after God finished creating, He said, "Behold, it was very good," or perfect. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. When God completed creating the heavens and the earth and everything in them, He looked at all that He had made and pronounced it good. which means perfect. The world as God created was not a world of sin, sickness, death, and disasters. God created the world good or perfect. But we all know that something happened later. You know what it is, right? The thing is called the fall of man. Man's sin affected the world or the creation that God has made. As the result of man's sin, it affected the natural world around us. In Genesis 3, we read God's word to Adam after he sinned. And this is probably the most unfortunate passages in the Bible. Genesis 3, verses 7 to 19. And unto Adam, God said, "Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Now the world is cursed because of Adam. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Now, look at verse 18. "Thorns also, thistles, shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, until you die," in other words. "For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Anybody here feeling the pain of toil and labor this week? Anybody feeling the thorns and thistles at workplace or school or at unis, especially when you're trying to complete a group's assignment? Okay, there's plenty of thorns and thistles. It's not as easy as you might expect it. You see, sin not only affected our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, but sin also affected our relationship with nature and nature's relationship with us. Yes, God created the world perfectly good, but sin affected the natural world around us. And so that's our first point. So strictly speaking, natural disasters are not natural, because the world was created by God. And as the result of sin, the world, the whole creation, is under the curse. Not only that, and unfortunately, the so-called natural disasters are part of God's judgment for sin. Now, we need to be careful on how we understand this, okay? Natural disasters are part of God's, now listen carefully, God's general judgment for sin on this world. That is, the sin that Adam brought into the world, the original sin. So we should not assume that all natural disasters are God's judgment for specific sin on specific people, or on a country, or a region. And we shall discuss both of these today, God's general judgment for sin, and God's judgment for specific sin. First of all, natural disasters are part of God's general judgment for sin. Psalm 48 verse 8 says, "Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind," including hurricanes and whatever, and fulfilling his word. Let us be clear with one thing. God is most definitely in control of the weather. He is the so-called the real weatherman here. By that mean, I mean he's in control of weather, okay? So if God is in control, why does he allow these natural disasters to inflict so much sufferings on us, the believers? Because they are part of God's general judgment for sin. So whether you are a Christian or a non-Christian, we all experience the same thing. We all experience God's general judgment for sin upon this world. Some people try to remove God from the equation when it comes to natural disasters. They say God doesn't have anything to do with the weather. It is just scientific patterns that we can quantify and observe. Well, God is a God of order. So the fact that we can quantify and observe His creation should not surprise us at all. And certainly, God did not just make the world and let it wind down like a clock. The Bible makes it clear that God is in control of the weather at all times, and I thank God for it. Now, when Susan and I were studying in Pensacola from 2002 to 2006, 4 years, we had many wonderful memories. We enjoyed the people's friendliness. The people in Pensacola are extremely friendly. The city is beautiful, and along with the famous beaches. But one thing we didn't like were the hurricanes. In August 2005, Hurricane Katrina was forecasted to make a landfall in Pensacola, Florida, as a Category 4 hurricanes. A Category 5 hurricane being the highest, so Category 4 hurricane was pretty big one. I think every Christian in Pensacola were praying that night for God to spare us, because in the same year, just about a month ago in July, now this is August, just a month ago in July, Pensacola was just struck with a major hurricane, Hurricane Dennis. More on that later. I'll talk about that Hurricane Dennis later. So we are praying and praying. In the end, Hurricane Katrina took a sharp left turn and headed for New Orleans. God is certainly in control of the weather. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 20 to 22, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain like a woman's labor together until now." Now, what is Paul saying here? The whole world is under a curse because of sin. The whole creation groans and travaileth in pain until now. Once again, that is why we have such things as sickness, sufferings, plagues, and so-called natural disasters. Now, whether we like it or not, these are all part of God's general judgments for sin. For God has subjected the creation to vanity when sin entered into the world. Now, the word vanity here may mean that the creation of the world is frustrated. Because of the effect of sin, the creation is frustrated. And as a result of sin, there are so-called natural disasters in the world today. President Trump's favorite pastor, Robert Jeffries, said in one of his sermons March this year, he said, "All natural disasters can be ultimately be traced to sin." Now, while we may not agree with everything he said, but I certainly agree with this statement. All natural disasters can ultimately be traced to sin. The first sin. So we should not presume to know whether they are the natural disasters are God's judgments for specific sin. I mentioned about Hurricane Katrina just now. It hit New Orleans instead of Pensacola in August 2005. So what happened to the city of New Orleans after that? Now, Hurricane Katrina, you can see, look at the PowerPoints, some horrific pictures here after Hurricane Katrina hit the city. It made landfall in the city of New Orleans, the capital city of the state of Louisiana, on August 29, 2005. Now, at that time, we're studying in Pensacola. Louisiana was a neighboring state to Florida, and the city was only 3 hours' drive away from Pensacola. Though Hurricane Katrina made a landfall as a Category 3, right? I mentioned a Category 5 being the highest, so it made a landfall as a Category 3 storm, and not a very big storm, average. But it brought upon the city a massive amount of rain, which caused the entire city to be severely flooded. Now you ask me why the city was flooded like this. That is because New Orleans, pretty much like any cities built in the Netherlands, right? The land beneath the sea level. It was built slightly under the sea level, this city, and the hurricane had breached the flood wall. All right. So in this city, like the city in Netherlands, there are flood walls, but the flood wall has been breached and causing massive flooding. It is told that this its effect of the hurricane could still be felt today, after what, 15 years. However, we should not assume, listen carefully, we should not assume that this or a similar disaster is God's judgment for specific sin on specific people. Though it is true that New Orleans is known as a city of witchcrafts and voodoos and all sorts of sexual immorality. It is true. But we should not assume that this was a judgment of God upon the city. Now, too often after a disaster strikes, people make the mistakes of pronouncing that the disaster was God's judgment for specific sin in that area of the world. Now, the problem is, we just don't know, right? We know from the Bible that God sometimes uses natural disasters as a judgment for specific sin upon specific area or country, right? But in this case, we just don't know. Unless we have a prophet from God, right, to interpret the storm or hurricane or disaster for us, which we don't have one, and we won't, right? We no longer have prophets, by the way. We have no way of knowing whether a certain natural disaster was a part of God's general judgments, God's judgment for a specific sin or not. We just don't know. And even if we have someone who claimed to be a prophet today who made such a declarations, we would have no way of testing his claims. We can only test prophecy by scripture, our final and highest authority. And we have no scriptures that speaks of specific instances of natural disasters in our day, except the great judgment that is to come in the latter days. Jesus warned us about this in Luke chapter 13. He said, "There were present at the seasons that some told him that of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices." And Jesus answering said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such thing." All right. So some people were saying that these Galileans died because of their sin, and God judged them, you see? And God, Jesus said, no, 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 you think that the Galilean, this Galilean dies because of their sin, right? And Jesus said in verse 3, I tell you, nay, no, but except ye, you all repent. You all shall all likewise perish. Or those 18, he has given us another illustration, or of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them. There was a tower in Siloam and fell and killed 18 people. You think God judged them too? And Jesus said, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I'm going to tell you what happened when Hurricane Dennis hit in Pensacola in July 2004. I remember 2 months later, in September, Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. But this is 2 months ago when another hurricane, Hurricane Dennis, hit Pensacola. That's why we're all praying very hard for this, for the Hurricane Katrina not to come, because the city was already in bad shape. I can never forget what happened on our way to our friend's house to seek shelter. As we were driving on the road, our car stopped at a junction, and suddenly a traffic light came right down on the side, on the left side of the car. It was actually, the left side was the driver's side in the US, okay? So I was driving, bang, and one traffic light fell right at the left side of the car, and it fell right beside me, missed only by a meter, you know? That thing could have gone right through the car and killed me. If I got killed and hit and killed by the traffic light, some people could say that it was God's judgment on my specific sin, right? I done evil, so that's why I die, right? By being crushed by a traffic light. Or you could also say that simply God has allowed it to happen due to the general judgment of sin upon our creation. Now, who is correct? Now, I want to draw your attention to Jesus saying in Luke, I tell you, nay, no, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. This is very important to know. Instead of pointing our fingers at what happened at certain towns, cities, countries, or at certain people when disaster occurred, Jesus said we should get busy about repenting for our own sins, lest we also perish the same way. True, natural disasters do not happen naturally, and it may not be judgment of God against certain sin or some specific sin, but ultimately natural disaster is the result of general judgment upon sin in this fallen and cursed world. So far we have seen that first, natural disasters are not natural. Second, natural disasters are part of God's judgment for sin. That is, natural disasters are part of God's judgment for sin on this whole world. But they are a part of God's general judgment for sin on this world. May not be a judgment for some specific sins. So we should not presume to know whether they are God's judgment for specific sins on some people or some countries. And third, natural disasters are meant to turn you to God. Now, people make two mistakes when it comes to God and natural disasters. Either they blame God for disaster hits, and when disaster hits, or they forget God when disaster passes them by. Now, for the past few months, the world is dealing with a pandemic close to that of biblical proportion. Right? Almost every nation in the world has declared it to be a national crisis. I say close to that of biblical proportion because it would be worse when God poured down his wrath upon the earth in the last days. It's going to be worse than this. 10 times, if not 100 times worse. Many of us have prayed for God to intervene to keep the virus under control, and thankfully, He did. But it is interesting when we look at our world. People often blame God for when disaster occurs, but they never thank Him when God has spared them of certain plagues or disasters. We should not blame God when disaster hits, and we should not forget God when we are spared. Rather, natural disasters are meant to turn the people to God, and it should be our prayers too. So let me share with you three ways from the scriptures that natural disasters are meant to turn you to God. Firstly, natural disasters are a warning of the judgment to come, a greater judgment to come. Proverbs 10, verse 25 says, "As the whirlwind passes, so is the wicked no more, but the righteous is an everlasting foundation." Every natural disaster, every earthquake, every storm is a warning that there is a greater judgment to come, where the wicked will be swept away and only the righteous will remain standing. And who are the righteous? Are you the righteous? The Bible makes it clear that we are all sinners, and that we can only be declared righteous in God's sight when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Only those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior are called the righteous and will be spared the judgment to come. That's why he was kind of sad to see people in the world taking all the credits when they have done well in containing the coronavirus. True, we must thank God for good government, but they should not take all the credits for it. There was no acknowledgement, no conception that this storm was a gracious warning from God of the greater judgment to come. Nothing. And there's no indication that they are repenting of their sin before God and turning to Christ for salvation. Jesus said about the end times in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 8, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And listen carefully in verse 7 and 8. "For nation shall rise against nation, the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilences like coronavirus, and earthquakes in diverse places, in many places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows." As we draw closer to Christ's return and the day of judgment, Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 said that there will be an increase in wars, rumors of wars, famines that we have never seen before in our entire lives, and earthquakes happening in many places. Pestilences means plagues and diseases. In diverse places, in many parts of the world. Why? Because all these are the beginning of sorrows, Jesus said. What is the beginning of sorrows? The beginning of sorrows means the beginning of the birth pains of a woman who is in labor. That is what he meant. In other words, the frequencies of pain and the magnitude of the pain will only increase in intensity. All right? If you have been in labor, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? These signs are a warning of a greater judgment to come. So Christians, brace yourself for the coming judgment, for the Lord's return is near. Now, if God be so merciful unto us, right, we do not have to go through the worst judgment. All right? You know what I'm talking about, right? We will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air or in the clouds. Right? That is, if you all believe in pre-tribulational rapture, right? But if you're wrong, we have to go through some of it. And secondly, natural disasters are an occasion to put your trust in God. Remember, people either forget God when a storm passes them by, or they blame God when the storm hits. But God is not against you. He is for you. He wants you to turn to Him. We read in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure," what? "In the death of the wicked." You think God is happy to see the wicked people perish in the world? No. God said, "But the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye," he said, "turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" Now the application is the same for us today. Not just unto the house of Israel who refuse to repent, but every sinner in our world today. Some people only pray to God when life crisis hit, and seek Him only when things in life turn for the worst. But as soon as they are delivered, or as soon as God answered their prayer, they quickly forget about God. And then again complains to Him for every bad things that has happened in the world or around them. But we must remember, when a crisis hit, it is God's way for us to learn to trust Him more. And we must not forget about God when things are going well. Whether we go through sunshine or stormy days, remember, God loves you and He cares for you. Don't ever forget that. Even when the worst disaster hit and things are falling down all around you, there's an occasion for you to learn to trust Him more. And bear in mind that believers are not exempt from sufferings in this world. So don't think that sufferings only happen to unbelievers or the wicked people. No. You may be surprised to find quite the opposite. When God intends to use someone, oftentimes He will try his or her faith through a series of trials and temptations. As A.W. Tozer rightly said, "God cannot use a man or a woman greatly until He wounds them deeply." So bad things may happen to Christians. Or I should say, bad things do happen to Christians. You may lose your jobs, you may lose your homes, you may lose your life even during the crisis. But remember the words of Paul in chapter 8 of Romans. "One who had himself been through more trials and tribulations than all of us combined said, 'Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us, Christ Jesus. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities," principalities means all the heavenly beings, "nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Yes, nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ Jesus. Neither death nor life, neither bushfires, hurricanes, tornadoes, nor earthquakes, nor coronavirus, nor anything else in all creation, even death, God is with you. And you can trust Him. Natural disasters are an occasion to put your trust in God more, even more than ever before. So what have we learned in the last principles about natural disaster? Firstly, they are a warning of the judgment to come. Secondly, they are an occasion to put your trust in God more. And thirdly, they are an opportunity to show God's love to others. I want to turn our attention to 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. It says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother hath need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." God didn't just say that He loved us. He showed us His love. God sent His only begotten Son into our world to be our Savior, and Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to show our love to others, especially your brethren. Natural disasters are an amazing opportunity for you and me to show God's love to others. I give you an example, all right? We have been talking about hurricanes, all right? And I mentioned about a major hurricane that hit Pensacola in July 2005, Hurricane Dennis. As you can see in the pictures, you know, the city was ravaged so badly. Hurricane Dennis made a landfall as a Category 4 hurricane with a top speed of 240 kilometers per hour. Whoo! 240 kilometers per hour. It hit Pensacola hard, and our college campus was ravaged. Beside fallen trees that destroyed many houses, as we were driving on the street, we saw a big tree that fell right through the house, through the center of the house, destroyed the roof and the entire structure. You know, and there were smashed windows everywhere and all sorts of debris everywhere on the ground. The entire city of Pensacola looked like a battleground. It looked like somebody dropped a bomb in there. Thankfully, before the hurricane hit, a friend of ours from the college offered us to take shelter at his two-story house. Now, this is Mr. Allen. Get this, Allen. And so Mr. and Mrs. Allen took us in. They wanted to provide a shelter for us because they live in a massive two-story home. So the Allens both work at the college as teachers, and we were students at the college. I went to the seminary, and my wife went to the college. They have now both gone home to be with the Lord. Right? But we can never forget their kindness toward us. During the hurricane, unfortunately, our friend's house roof was partially damaged and windows smashed. I remember Mr. Allen and I had to stay a week to make sure that the roof won't collapse on us. So we were looking at the roof, and then the water's dripping through the roof. And we were afraid that we would be worried that the ceiling is gonna collapse on us. So when we returned to our apartment, to our humble apartment, fortunately nothing happened, right? But there was no electricity and no water, and the patrol station had a long queue of 20 or 30 meters, if not more. And the U.S. Coast Guards came down to provide us emergency assistance. They handed out some emergency food packets, and we both looked like refugees, you know, for a few days. And These are some of the emergency food packets that they provided for us. They're pretty good. Okay. You don't have the microwave it. It's all cooked food. You can just, tear the package, and can just eat it. I share that story with you to remind all of us that natural disasters are an opportunity to show God's love to others, and we can trust God to provide for our needs. And I don't mean just to be kind to those who need help. Ultimately, we must share the gospel with them during the times of disaster. So natural disasters are meant to turn us to God. Firstly, they are a warning of the judgment to come. Secondly, they are an occasion to put your trust in God more. And thirdly, they are an opportunity to show God's love to others. So we are so blessed to be living in Australia. I know. God spared us the worst outcome of this pandemic crisis. People often say we are lucky. But no, I would say that we are so blessed that God has spared us. And we give all the credits to God, although we thank God for the governments, though, our good government. All right? But even if God did not spare us, even if we had experienced the worst and suffered tremendous and catastrophic losses, even our lives, everything we just said this afternoon would still be true. That is, God is in control of natural disasters. So use this pandemic or any disaster as an opportunity to trust God more, to help others, and to remember what is really important in life. So let us be thankful to God for His mercy, and let us pray for those who have lost their loved ones, their homes, their jobs, right, throughout this pandemic. And help them, O Lord, above all, pray that they will turn to Christ one day for salvation. Let us pray.